PWG Battle of Los Angeles 2015 Night 3. That was a lot of words. Recap. And this is exclusively for the Indie Corner. And I experienced the whole weekend, and it was something special. And it's always something I'll always remember compared to just like last year's Bolo. It was something special. Just kind of seeing kind of like a reunion of all these people that come out to Bola like once a year and meeting up with the same people and from all over the, you know, Twitter and all over the world, essentially. And just, you know, it's amazing meeting all these different like-minded people and just hanging out, experiencing the same joy. And it's kind of a beautiful thing when PWG does Bola every year and you see everyone from around the world just join together and become one as a, you know, as a whole during the whole 3-day weekend. So it was a very communal atmosphere, I gotta say. And shout outs to all the people that I hung out with. I kind of gotta keep it quiet, but basically it was an awesome time. And a lot of hanging out during, before, you know, the shows and intermission and all that kind of thing. So it's quite the weekend. And overall, I mean, it's something you got to experience as an indie wrestling fan at least once. I know tickets are hard to get, but it's a dogfight that's worth, you know, fighting for. And definitely, if you have any chance, you know, take it and come out to L.A. and experience it. And I know it's really hot, but it's kind of hot all over the world right now, even though it was 100 degrees. It's still something to be experienced. So definitely, you know, check it out if you can. Night 3 was hella long. It was a 5-hour show that started 90 minutes late, which honestly really kind of annoyed me because I have worked the next day. I had to get up at 6, which is today, and hardly got any sleep. I was so tired when I got home. I still had errands to do because I figured I was going to be home by 9 or 10 o'clock, but fucking A, this show just went so long. I kind of expected it to go this long, but I was just like, at least it'll start at 5 because the ring is set up. But little did I know, they still start 90 minutes late. So I was standing in the heat for about an hour compared to other people. I just get in at the end of the line because I don't want to be standing in line the whole time because it's so freaking hot. Basically, everyone was sweating. Someone even got, I don't know what happened. Someone had a seizure and they had to call the ambulance, and someone actually got, you know, taken to a local hospital. That was kind of scary. But the heat is that intense, so that's why I'm kind of concerned with this starting late thing. I know it's kind of become a thing for PWG, what they're known for, even though it's very unprofessional. And something like that, I mean, you're having your fans, you know, stand out there in 100-degree weather, you know, just sweltering and sweating, and it's just like, man, you know, some people are not physically able to handle this, obviously, because people are not, you know, we're not really meant to stand there for so long in the heat. I mean, it's brutal sometimes here in Southern California during the summer. So just a little note. I don't know if, you know, this will get somewhere, but I mean, seriously, I mean, you already have the ring set up. I know it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know everyone else in the indie starts on time, but except PWG. So, I mean, they can get away with it because they're so good, but eventually we'll catch up to you. And I think something will eventually happen down the line where they have to start on time. But I mean, it was just so bad just standing in that line. But yeah, I'll go on. 90 minutes in, so the show started at 6:30, not 5 o'clock. It was so hot. The show opened with Excalibur coming out, claiming that he went to the ER and he's got to see a specialist now because he got beat up on night 2 by Mount Rushmore. So, they're really going all out with this storyline. They're really making Excalibur get a lot of sympathy and putting a lot of heat on Mount Rushmore, so it's really good. I mean, we actually got some heels in PWG again. It's really nice to boo, you know, instead of cheering everybody, you know. It's nice to boo someone in a wrestling environment because, I mean, that's kind of what it's all about, right? So Mount Rushmore doing their thing and getting it over by literally injuring Excalibur. So the show opened with Jack Evans and Brian Cage. And, I mean, I love Jack Evans and all, but he just kept talking this whole weekend. He would open up his matches with just these Raw-esque promos and just go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And I know he's trying to draw heat as a heel, but god damn, I mean, people have things to do, man. This show's going to be long. You know what I mean? Just have some consideration, you know? And basically, he talked for like 5 minutes, you know, saying that even though he's smaller than Brian Cage, he can still beat Brian Cage. And then Brian Cage proceeded to throw him around. And then, you know, step on a banana peel kind of finish. Well, I wouldn't say step on a banana peel finish, but basically it was just like a backslide out of nowhere. And, of course, Jack Evans is known for that backslide where he, you know, reaches his legs over almost like an arch and pinned the guy. And it was a shocker. And all in all, I think Brian Cage only wrestled like maybe like 15, 20 minutes, maybe less than that this whole weekend. I don't know if he's hurt or what, but it seemed like he was kind of protected. And he basically just worked with small guys to throw around. And even though he got pinned, he looked like a monster. Afterward, he gave Jack Evans a Steiner screwdriver, and that seems to be Brian Cage's new finish. Or at least, you know, for the people that are willing to take it as a finish. I mean, my God, Errol Starr looked legitimately knocked out on night one. And Jack Evans came out for his semifinal match, all of, you know, his taped shoulder, taped head, or like a wrap. But essentially, they really put over the Steiner screwdriver, and I mean, it's weird. Like, you might as well just put Cage in the semifinal if he was going to be pushed that hard. I mean, he looked like a beast here, but he just looked like he was a fucking idiot for getting pinned in a backslide. So, I don't know what's up with that, but no love for Brian Cage in this tournament. But he did get a nice win against Arrow Star, so I'll give him that. So, the next match was Chris Hero defeating Biff Busick with a second row pile driver. That was very scary to watch. Biff looked like he was fucking hurting afterward, and what a shocker. Like, Biff Busick, at least, you know, at least he would have made the semifinals, you would think, but I don't know, man. Everyone heard the announcement today that Dave Meltzer on his podcast announced he'd get signed. He's going to go to NXT soon, but based on the results, I don't know if he's going to come back to PWG for one more match and have a face-off with Dragon, because the way it seemed, like, Dragon pinned Biff Busick, and it's kind of like a build-up to a singles match because, you know, the heel getting, you know, heat and getting over and pinning the baby face in, like, some, in a 3-on-1 fashion, I guess you would say. But essentially, I mean, you would expect more of Biff Busick, but I don't know. Maybe they just wanted Chris Hero to have a standout performance to kind of make up for the last couple of years where he didn't really do much in the tournament. Yeah, especially last year going on the first round, and he's also gone out in the first round multiple times. So, I mean, it's also kind of weird to see whenever Chris Hero goes to the finals, it's like no one believes that he's going to win. He's just there to put the guy over. And I guess that's kind of the veteran thing to do, I guess. But it's kind of, you know, sad because, I mean, there were people rooting for Chris Hero to win the final. But I'll get to that later. But essentially, this match was what you'd expect. It's kind of like their evolved matches. You know, hard-hitting, Biff, you know, just having great facial expressions, trying to go toe-to-toe with Hero, strike for strike. But just, you know, Hero went for a second row pile driver and got it. And holy shit, I mean, Chris Hero's really getting the pile driver over and basically just knocked the guy out and shocked everybody. People were shocked. You know, I guess that's kind of what happens when you're gonna go to NXT and you kind of have to put the other guys over on your way out. So I guess in the long term, it makes sense for not putting any stock in Biff Busick if he's just gonna be gone by the end of the year. So I guess if you wanted to do it that way, they did it that way. So, next match was another shocker, another big shocker. Marty Scurll defeating Trevor Lee with the chicken wing. I mean, no offense to Marty Scurll. It's just Trevor Lee is just really over with the crowd. It seems like his stock has dropped, though. I mean, this kind of loss, you would expect him to go to the semifinals at least as well. But, you know, just kind of shocking. There were people in the crowd going, you know, literally gasping for breath. And I mean, if he can do that in wrestling, I guess that's kind of, you know, kind of awesome too. But you know, just I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on with Trevor Lee. He had a lot of momentum and just lost it at the beginning of the year, and I don't know if it's like a political thing or maybe it's just, you know, they're waiting to season him up a little more. But it seemed like he was going to be the guy, and then I don't know, something happened. Lost that steam. And Marty Scurll gets the win. And Marty Scurll, man, great, great heel. His facial reactions to stuff is just unbelievable. The way he interacts with the crowd is just unbelievable. It's hilarious, but in a heel, dickish kind of way. And You know, he's just so good. And then I'll go more into his you know, his in-ring antics later when he faced off with Zack Sabre Jr. Which brings us to the next match. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Pentagon Jr. with the Kimura Lock, and basically, I kind of predicted this on other podcasts just because of the nature of it. It's Jr. versus Jr., armbar versus armbar, essentially, and this was kind of like a dream match come true because Pentagon Jr. came out, and then the crowd was just like, well, who can it be? Because it's got to be, you know, someone who's not a luchador, because he was the only luchador left in the tournament. And when Zack Sabre's music hit, I swear to God, people were looking at each other and going, oh my God, just freaking out at this fucking, you know, match, because it's something that people kind of dreamed about when the lineups were announced. And it's just like, man, if they were to somehow come together, how awesome would that match be? And they did it. And man, it felt like a special moment in PWG history. Like, I never felt that kind of like, oh my God, we're about to watch this awesome dream match kind of feeling, you know? Like, it really felt special. And I think it's just because of the way Pentagon Jr. kind of carried himself in the ring, and the way Sabre Jr.'s been able to, like, handle himself in the ring. And it's just like, this, I don't know, man, just, it was something special to watch, you know? Even though it wasn't the greatest match ever, it was still a really good match, and it was very technical, and the crowd was very into it. I think it's just Pentagon Jr.'s character and the way Zack Sabre Jr.'s been tearing it up. Just fucking right place, right time. Everything came together, and this match was just made to happen at this moment in time, and it's probably the only place it could happen. I mean, I can't think of another promotion where it could happen except maybe like Lucha Underground, but then Sabre Jr. would have to go into Lucha Underground, and that'd be weird. But truly a unique matchup that I don't think anyone else could possibly book, unless it's maybe like AAW or maybe like a... like Progress Wrestling or something like that. But I don't think I mean, this is just truly like two different cultures, two different styles coming together, and it came out great, and the crowd loved it, and it came out, this whole match felt like a beautiful fucking moment in like indie wrestling, you know? Like, the whole crowd just, it was like a dream match that you didn't even realize you wanted until like this, you know, the last couple months. And then just having it come out of nowhere just felt like such a special moment, and I gotta really put it over. The next match was Speedball Mike Bailey defeating Tommy Ann. This was great because if you really think about it, this was like a perfect matchup to make, because it's kick versus kick, and that's all they pretty much did, and kicked the shit out of each other. And Tommy Ann at times looked like he just demolished Mike Bailey with those kicks and the double stomps off the top, and Mike Bailey just kept on coming back. That's his kind of, you know, story of every match against anyone that's basically taller than him and bigger than him. He's just going to take whatever he can, you know, handle and then bring it back to him, and got this babyface comeback and got the win. And it's really, it was really special to watch Mike Bailey throughout the tournament just kind of grow. I mean, the guy had no wins up until last month, and all of a sudden now he's like a top upper tier guy in the company now, and made a really big name for himself as a whole on the indies, going all the way to the finals, and just a really good showing. And this match was a perfect example of that, just because of the way he just, you know, there were so many close near falls, and I think Mike Bailey's really almost mastered the near fall when he kicks out, because everyone thinks like, oh my God, the guy's dead. And then when he kicks out, the crowd just goes, yes! You know, like, they just so want to root for the guy to win, and it's kind of like this beautiful thing. And he gave him the head kick and knocked out Tommy Ann for the win, and just a great match too. The whole, I think Speedball Mike Bailey had probably the better matches of the whole tournament overall. Just every match he was in was just awesome, and the crowd was really, really into it every time. And probably the more overall, he was probably the MVP next to Zack Sabre Jr., I'd say, of the tournament. And this was a great match here. And then Will Ospreay, your boy, defeated Matt Sydal. And I kind of expected this match, because I know that I saw the match online they had in the UK. They had two matches. I saw the second match, but, you know, this was kind of what I expected, since they kind of knew each other already. This is the kind of match you want to put on to get a guy like Will Ospreay over. And basically Matt Sydal did the veteran thing and put the young guy over, and this is what I was expecting, like just a beautiful, fantastic athletic match. And Will Ospreay just made, I mean, I love Matt Sydal, I love his in-ring work, and his style is so smooth and crisp, but somehow, some way that Will Ospreay is somehow better at it. He's like more crisp and more, it just makes it seem more elegant and beautiful, his turns and his twirls and all the flips and dives that he does. He just makes it so seamless. I can't wait till he faces Ricochet in PWG, because you know that's going to happen. I hope he comes back, and I think he, I mean, all these guys got will please come back chance, so I think whenever the time comes, whenever there's a plane ticket, he'll come out, and we'll have some awesome rematches with guys like Ricochet, and, you know, just have some awesome matches and make, you know, make his name. The guy's only 20 years old, so, I mean, just an awesome performance for a 20-year-old this throughout this whole tournament for Will Ospreay. Did an awesome job defeating the veteran Matt Sydal. And then we went to intermission, and I got a shout-out to Max Landis, son of John Landis. He's also a screenwriter. He wrote American Ultra, which just came out. He is a big PWG fan. He came to night three, and then during intermission, he bought 25 pizzas for the whole crowd. And in about 10 minutes, they were gone, because I went to use the bathroom, and when I got back, they were gone. So it's okay. I was full. So, but I got a shout-out to Max Landis for being an awesome dude for doing that. So when we got back, we had kind of a dream match. It's the first time ever Mount Rushmore as a stable, whether it's 1.0, 2.0, came together and basically did an 8-man tag. Did the 8-man tag that we were kind of hoping for, but they didn't really build it up. It was just kind of out of nowhere. And basically it was Angelico, Phoenix, and the Inner City Machine Guns just kind of coming out at random. I kind of missed the beginning of the angle when I was getting back from intermission, but there was essentially just a brawl going on, and then the Machine Guns came out for the save, and it turned into this 4-on-4 match. But the way it's, you know, I mean, smart booking right now, you got to put the heels over. You got to make them look strong right off the bat. They just formed in June, so they're still fresh. That's probably why they won night two, the guerrilla warfare, and did it in the fashion they did, looking dominant. They got to make them look like that, you know, no one can beat them, and who's going to be the guy to beat them, and I don't know. I was thinking maybe if they can somehow get a deal with the Lucha Underground guys again, maybe. I mean, because Pentagon Jr. was, like, one of the most over guys, probably. He's just got this, like, persona, this charisma in the ring, this, I don't know, man. Everyone is just attracted to, like, Pentagon Jr., so he might be the guy, I think, to go one-on-one, maybe with Super Dragon, if Fusey is done, because, I mean, we'll just have to find out in the next couple months, but if he is done, I think Pentagon Jr. and Super Dragon would be just a spectacle that the crowd would go apeshit for, and maybe Pentagon Jr. could be the guy to just take out Mount Rushmore. You know what I mean? Why not? I mean, he's got you know, so much stock with the crowd, and he's so over that you know, he could be the guy to vanquish Mount Rushmore. But he would be my pick. I can't really see anyone else, because there's no one. I don't know. There's not really that top level guy amongst the roster that I could see as, like, the, you know, the Dragon Slayer, pardon the pun, because it's true. I mean, someone's got to slay the Super Dragon, right? And if it's not going to be Biff Busick like we all thought, why not Pentagon Jr. if you can do it? I mean, he's, like, so over with the crowd anyway. So Mount Rushmore 2.01, Roddy got the win on Rich Swann. They're making Roddy look like an unbeatable champion. He also got the win on night one, so essentially that whenever he, you know, he's going to face Zack Sabre Jr., whether it be October or December, it's really going to be, you know, a big deal, especially since, you know, Roddy's just on this win streak right now and hasn't lost in probably 8 or 9 months in PWG, so undefeated this whole year. So they really wanted to make him look strong, and no pun intended there either, but they did. And I can't wait till Zack Sabre Jr. faces off with him. So, and then the semifinals started, and Chris Hero defeated Jack Evans with the rolling elbow, but again, Jack Evans just got on the fucking mic, and it was just like, God, just shut the fuck up. And it's not just like heel heat, it was at this point like, man, this show is going long, and you're just talking and talking and talking. And basically, I would say a third of the match was just Jack Evans talking, and it was just, I know it's supposed to get me heated up and hate him and stuff, and I know he's probably got what he wanted out of the crowd, but I don't think he realizes that people had shit to do the next day, like, you know, normal people on a Monday who had to get up at 6 a.m. for work, and it just made the show even longer than it had to be. And it, you didn't really have to talk that much, man. You just had to fucking do what you had to do and not even talk that much. But this kind of went longer than it had to, I think. And, you know, for what it was just essentially Chris Hero, you know, knocking Jack down and down and over again. But Jack Evans kept kicking out at one, which got him babyface heat, which was kind of weird because he was being the heel, because he kept kicking out at one, trying to be like, you know, the underdog to Chris Hero, but eventually Chris Hero just knocked him out with a three count. So kind of 50-50 on this match. I'm not really sure how people are going to react to it. I
I'm on the fence. I thought it was just kind of unnecessary with all the talking, but whatever. Sports entertainment, so. Next match was, this was really good. Speedball Mike Bailey defeating Will Ospreay, again with the head kick. Man, this was what you'd expect. I mean, you know, just essentially one would do a dive, the other would do a dive, and then kicks versus kicks, and Ospreay's got his kicks, and of course Bailey's got his kicks, and just awesome back-and-forth action, a great junior heavyweight-style match mixed with some strong style, and, you know, it could have gone a little bit longer, maybe. This was, like, I would have, you know, cut some time for Hero and Evans and given maybe this a little more time, but this was really good and really entertaining, and Speedball got the win with the head kick, and, you know, at this point, I was like, oh, my God, Cinderella Man, you know, going to the finals, didn't have a win until last year, and then I realized Hero was in the final, and I was like, oh, think he's getting his win back. So, put two and two together, and by the end, the final kind of played out the way I thought it would. So, but I'll get to that in a second. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Marty Scurll with the armbar. This match was great, but it was just way too freaking long. It went like 30 minutes, and I mean, I love both these guys in ring work and stuff, but man, for a show that was already going like on 4 hours, maybe on that point, and just going 30 minutes when you really didn't have to go 30 minutes was just annoying. People were around me were like, yeah, that was great, but man, that was way too long. And I don't blame them. Like, they went 30 minutes, it should have went 15. They did a lot of crowd shtick, a lot of like opening comedy shtick, which I really appreciated, but. And then they kind of switched gears into serious mode, but maybe they should have done a little less comedy and go more into serious mode, just because what they did at 30 minutes, you could have easily done to 15, and it just went, it made the show go even longer than it had to. But yeah, it was really good. People might not like it as much as others. People might think it's the greatest thing they've ever seen. I don't know, but I mean, they did a lot of great stuff, and I think it would have been more, you know, impactful if they didn't just, like, 15 minutes and just leave it at that and just not go on for 30 when you don't have to. The next match I didn't really see coming at all. I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought there was going to be, like, an intermission before the final, but it was basically another tag match, a 10-man tag. I guess you'd call this the traditional random multi-man tag match that happens every night, 3 of Bola. Last year was the slow-motion spot with the farewell for Willie Mack. This year was kind of the, I guess, unofficial farewell for Chuck E. T. since Chuck E. T., you know, he's on his quote-unquote retirement tour. Yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know. I guess if he's done, he's made his decision, and at least the last 10 years of his work is on, you know, DVD and video on demand, so we can still appreciate it. But Chuck Taylor will be missed if he doesn't come back. But if that was going to be his last match in PWG, he did it right, because I think Chuck Taylor is one of the masters of the multi-man match. He just excels in that environment, just working with everybody and just working and feeding off the crowd. That's exactly what we got here. It was a fun, random match. Let me go over the teams really quickly. It kind of started as an 8-man, actually, because only 8-man came out at first. It was Drew Gulak, Trent, Drew Galloway, and Aerostar against Timothy Thatcher, Mark Andrews, Andrew Everett, and Drago. I mean, that's kind of like when Timothy Thatcher's team came out, people around us like, what is happening? What is that? Or something like that. It's just like the most random team ever. And people were looking around each other like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it kind of reminded me of like an indie Survivor Series. you know what I mean? It's like random dudes coming together. And it's just like, wow, you'll never see that like on the, you know, ever again, this fucking 10-man tag, just so random. And then Drew Gulak came out with Galloway, Aerostar, and Trent. And then all of a sudden, you hear Ciampa's music. I'm like, what's going on? And then he comes to the ring, does his entrance, and he's like, I'm on Team Thatcher, essentially. And then it's like, whoa, 5-on-4, what? And then Chuck E. T. was doing commentary the whole weekend, was sitting still next to Excalibur. I don't know if he was on commentary at that moment, but they pointed to him. He had his pants on, his gear on, so he took off his shirt and joined the match. Crowd went nuts because everyone loves Chuck Taylor, and essentially this was just what you'd expect. Goofiness, awesome spots mixed with great comedy, and they did the slow motion spot again. That shit got over hard again. I don't know if it was cool as last year, because last year everyone's saying, why can't we be friends in slow motion? This time we didn't really sing anything in slow motion, but everyone was going, you know, this is awesome. And fucking, it was awesome, man. It's a good time. Because right at that point, I was like, God, this show is so long. and I'm so tired already. But this kind of, like, gave me an adrenaline kick, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this is a fun, you know, little different thing going on here, and it was really fun. And, you know, I mean, what'd you expect? I mean, these 10 random dudes just going at it, having fun, doing, getting their shit in, I guess you'd say, and really entertaining, and I think it's one of the highlights of the weekend just because of, you know, the whole Chuck Taylor thing, so. And then finally, after 4.5 hours, and starting 90 minutes late, we get to the finals. We got Mike Bailey representing Canada. We got Zack Sabre Jr. representing the UK. And we got Chris Hero representing the USA. And it's kind of what we all kind of wanted and predicted, one guy from each nation. Some people thought one of the Luchador guys, probably Pentagon Jr., would have been in the final, but it kind of took a different route. And basically, this was still the kind of, you know, one from each country. People forget Mike Bailey's not an American, even though he acts like the Karate Kid. And this was, you know, really good. It wasn't the best match of the weekend. It was still a really good match. It just kind of, everyone was just tired, and they were going at a slow pace. And luckily this year, they didn't announce on Twitter that this was elimination rules, because people, like last year, were confused when there was only one fall, and everyone expected Roddy to be eliminated, but that was the end of the match when Ricochet pinned Gargano. So here, at least, they got the elimination rule over, and it took a different kind of pace than like a sprint. You expected this to be kind of a sprint. This kind of took a slow kind of pace. Eventually, there was like, you know, all three guys were trying holds at the same time, that kind of thing, striking each other. You know, because Zack Sabre Jr.'s got his kicks, Bailey's got his kicks, and Hero's got the elbow. So about after 15 minutes, it was down to Zack Sabre Jr. was kind of beat up on the outside. Bailey and Hero were going down the ring, and eventually Hero hit a pile driver. And as soon as he got up and hit another one, everyone was like, oh, it's over. But then he got up and did another pile driver on the guy, and that really put Mike Bailey out. And what a great showing for Mike Bailey. No one ever expected him to go to the final. Oh, okay, I'll take that back. Probably a lot of people did. I did not. He's the Cinderella Man of the weekend. And maybe next year he bowls slow. And maybe he does win bowling next year and kind of conquers the gauntlet, I guess you'd say. Zack Sabre Jr. and Hero went on for like another 5 minutes, and he tapped Hero out with kind of like this arm bar, kind of working both arms, but it was just a crazy submission, working both arms. Hero said after, you know, of course Chris Hero likes to talk, so he grabbed the mic and said, you fucking earned this. And Zack Sabre Jr. got on the mic, he announced that he's moving to California, and that he's going to beat Roderick Strong for the world title, and he thanks everybody. And he's kind of like tripping out the fact he's like all the way in the UK experiencing this moment in like Reseda, California, you know, which is kind of a trip. But and then all the European wrestlers came out and lifted him up, hoisted him on his shoulder. So, you know, a great weekend for European wrestlers, you know, Tommy Yan, Zack Sabre Jr., Will Ospreay, Marty Scurll, Mark Andrews. And Drew Galloway. Galloway came out, too. That was great. I mean, just the whole European contingent was represented, and they got over this weekend. And Zack Sabre Jr. is now going to become, I don't know if he's going to be an American citizen, maybe he's going to get a visa and just live in California for a while, but right now, the way it looks, man, people were chanting next world champ at Zack Sabre Jr. He was the only one getting that chant. He won Bola. They set up the match with Roddy even on night one, even though he didn't even wrestle his tournament matches yet. And, you know, also, Roddy came out afterward and said, Zack, I'm going to beat the living shit out of you. And that's pretty much it. So we got our main event. I don't know if it's going to be the next show, or maybe the December show, but essentially, they're going to do another match. I don't know if there'll be a stipulation involved. If they do a 60-minute Iron Man match, I wouldn't be opposed to it, because I think that'd be fucking sweet, because I think Sabre Jr. and Strong can like do it well. Because, I mean, last time they did an Iron Man match at PWG, it was kind of so-so for some people. I enjoyed it live just because, I was kind of involved like in the storyline aspect of it, like trying to, it was Sami Callihan trying to catch up to Adam Cole in that match. So if I think they do a 60-minute Iron Man match here, you might have to even, like, you can even do like 2-3 falls, not even do that many, and still have a dramatic match because, I mean, they really fucking, you know, they had the match of the year so far, even with all these great matches of Bola. The match of the year still, to me, is Zack Sabre Jr. and Roddy from April, excuse me. And even though, you know, there's a lot of great matches this weekend, nothing really topped that, so I think they can even top that if they add a little something to it. I don't picture Zack Sabre Jr. having, like, a no DQ match. It doesn't fit his style at all. If they're going to have a gimmick match, it's got to be, like, a submission match, maybe. or like, you know, the Iron Man match, like I mentioned, or maybe even like 2 out of 3 falls go old school, even though people think the 2 out of 3 falls match is kind of antiquated in today's wrestling world. I think if you do a kind of a certain, book it a certain way, it can still be an awesome match. So that was the weekend, everybody. Thank you for listening. I'll be back in October, I guess. This was a hell of a weekend. I met a lot of cool people, hung out with a lot of cool people. It was hot. It was hazy. And not just, you know, the smog, but other forms of haze. I'll just leave it at that. And, yeah, just a great overall weekend, great time. And I can't wait to do it again next year. And that's about it. So thank you for listening. Peace. Boom.